You are listening to Dateline Washington on the Radio America Network. I'm Greg Corumbus. Thanks for being with us. My next guest in this edition is Dr. Tim Ball, former professor of climatology at the University of Winnipeg. We want to get his thoughts on some of the latest developments in the climate change debate, including a key physicist advising Al Gore, offering the suggestion of shooting pollution particles into the upper atmosphere to block the sun's rays and therefore lower the temperature of the planet. And Dr. Ball, thanks so much for being with us.
You're very welcome. Thanks for the opportunity.
Oh, what do you make of this? It's apparently called geoengineering. What do you make of the science behind it and the suggestion overall?
Well, it's the most foolish thing you can imagine. I mean, if you want to talk about Obama almost walking on water, if they think that they can change the climate this way and not create all kinds of negative impacts, geoengineering's been around for a long time. And I recall back in the 1970s when the Earth was cooling and they were threatening another ice age, there was similar discussions about putting big reflectors in space to direct more sunlight down. And they were talking about the Soviets wanted, as they were then, wanted to put a bridge or block across the Bering Straits and stop the cold water coming down into the North Pacific and so on and so forth. And it's all insanity. And particularly if you don't know what you're doing, and in this case they don't. And of course, when you talk about what they were planning in the 70s to deal with cooling, what would have happened if somebody had said at that time, well, the solution is to put more CO2 up? How would that have looked with their now claim that CO2 is causing the warming? And so they're crazy ideas at the best of times. And when you don't know what you're doing and are most likely to do it wrong, they're even more insane.
Dr. Ball, I thought that extra pollution was the problem. Why is it potentially the solution under their theory?
Well, of course, one of the things that came about with that cooling from 1940 to 1970, the people that are pushing the what's called the AGW, the anthropogenic global warming cause, said that, oh, well, their models didn't pick that up because it was sulfates from human industry that was blocking the sunlight and caused that cooling period. The problem is that the world started to warm up after about 1985, but the level of sulfates continued to increase. So their claim that the cooling was caused by human action proved to be completely wrong. But this idea, I mean, James Hansen over at NASA threw this idea out about putting carbon particles into the atmosphere. And by the way, the sort of geoengineering that's going on right now that people should know about is they were spreading huge amounts of iron filings across the ocean of the North Pacific. And the idea was that this was going to increase the uptake of CO2 by the oceans. No concern about what impact that would have on the chemistry of that surface layer and the plant life and everything else. But we just learned about 2 weeks ago, NASA, NOAA, I should say, announced that it was a complete failure. And as I said, when you start looking at these things and what they're proposing, it really is very disturbing and absolute insanity.
In terms of the problem that they could create, though, by injecting these particles into the atmosphere, if they're not sure what they're doing, and you say they're not, what were some of the problems that we could be faced with?
Well, I think the biggest problem is that the world is cooling down now. It's been cooling since 2000, and I believe that the reasonable science shows that it will continue to cool till about 2030. And if you then enhance that cooling, push it down even colder, and a colder world is a much greater threat in terms of the problems to plant life and human life on it than warming. I mean, they pushed all of the negative things about warming. Nobody talked about the positive effects of warming. Many countries of the world, Canada, for example, would benefit enormously from some warming. Longer growing seasons, less energy used to keep warm, and so on. And cooling, when you look at the historical picture, cooling is the real, real problem. And we saw in nature a similar kind of pattern. And by the way, a pattern that some people think we're heading into now, starting about 1800, the world started to cool down because of a reduction in sunspot cycles. And then in the middle of that, in 1815, a volcano erupted called Tambora. And so it effectively put particles into the atmosphere as they're proposing. And that led in 1816 to what is known as the year with no summer. And to give you an idea how cold that was, they had snow as far down as Carolina in June. and the government to send out agents pleading with people not to eat their seed because their crops were failing because they'd have no seed to plant the following year. And it's a very, very significant effect. And what it reflects, of course, is that you've got natural cooling from the sun, and then you've got natural cooling added by this volcanic eruption. Well, the same thing would happen if we substituted ourselves for that volcano.
Dr. Ball, just a couple minutes left here in our conversation, and you mentioned something a minute ago, and that is related to water quality and how, in an effort to soak up CO2, iron filings were put in the oceans. And I know that you believe that water availability is the bigger problem long-term here, environmentally speaking, than anything related to the current state of the climate.
Well, I think that the focus has been far almost totally on temperature and specifically on warming. And as I've just mentioned, we need to be looking at cooling and what its impacts can be. But outside of that, they have almost totally ignored water vapor, which is by far the most important greenhouse gas. And then because of that and their inability to put clouds in their models, they simply have not looked at precipitation. And in terms of life on the planet, water is a much, much more important variable. And certainly in short and medium term for agriculture, for example, my own research led me into studying water resources because I found that drought was the single most devastating climate event in terms of flora and fauna and, of course, the human condition. And of course, they've exploited that by saying, oh, with warming, there will be more drought. But that's counterintuitive because if it warms, there's more evaporation, more moisture in the atmosphere, and therefore less drought. But what we really need to do is be looking at water. And I happen to think water is the resource issue of the 21st century. And in fact, I've had a minor campaign going to change the name of the planet from Earth to water.
And explain what you see as the current state of the water supply and where it's headed.
Well, generally, the biggest problem with water is that it's never where you need it. There's certainly adequate water around, but if you look at the U.S., for example, everybody wants to live in the Southwest, but it's semi-desert or desert, and yet if you go to the North and the Northeast, you've got adequate water supplies. And I happen to think the North American Free Trade Agreement was all about water. We already had 80% free trade with the U.S. and Canada, and so the only thing left to negotiate, and when you look at who the two chief negotiators were, both of them were experts in water, continental water. And so the problem in the world is not necessarily inadequate water, it's the distribution of it and where people want to live. And those are the things we need to look at. And just give you one example, once the Iraq war is over, they're going to have to deal with the fact that Turkey and Syria built large dams on the Tigris and Euphrates that feed the major river that is the water supply for Iraq.
Dr. Ball, I look forward to talking to you about that as well as other issues down the road. Thanks as always for your time today.
Thanks again, Greg, and thanks for the opportunity.
Dr. Tim Ball, former professor of climatology at the University of Winnipeg, this is Dateline Washington.